Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everyone. It's Christian here. Before we speak to the legend that is Sir Jackie Stewart, I wanted to tell you about a couple of exciting things coming up on F1 Explained. We're going to be talking to a couple of current Formula One Grand Prix winners to explain stuff that only F1 drivers can talk about. Lando Norris and Esteban Ocon will be joining F1 Explained for some special Ask an F1 Driver shows. So, whether it's how Lando and Esteban do certain things in the car, like managing tyres, or putting in a flying lap when you really need to in quali together, what's going through their mind on the grid moments before lights out, or even the food they eat before a race, this is your chance to ask two huge F1 stars your questions about how they go racing in the pinnacle of motorsport. So send your questions and voice notes to f1explains@f1.com, and we will get Lando Norris and Esteban Ocon to answer them for you very, very soon. In the 75-year history of the Formula One World Championship, there are some drivers who stand above the rest. They're the champions who won again, and again, and again. Our guest for this episode is definitely in that category, Sir Jackie Stewart.
All the good drivers in the world do it smoothly and gently, touch the car just smoothly and gently, ask for it smoothly and gently, don't abuse it. Formula One car's an animal. And if you give an animal a nice time, it gives you a better performance.
So Jackie raced in Formula One from 1965 to 1973, winning three world championships. Only six drivers in the whole of the sport's history have more titles than Sir Jackie. Oh, and despite the fact he stopped racing more than 50 years ago, he's still ninth on the all-time list of winners. The perfect person, then, to answer your questions about how F1 has changed. Welcome to F1 Explained.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Christian Hugill. This is the official Formula One podcast, which puts your questions about Formula One, oddly enough, to the very best people in the sport. And Sir Jackie Stewart is one of the very best ever to do it. And his achievements go beyond those championships and wins I mentioned. He's one of the most important figures in Formula One's 75-year history because he was a fierce campaigner for improvements to make the sport safer, not just with the cars, but with the racetracks as well. Now, he mentions in the interview you're about to hear a circuit called the Nürburgring in Germany, for example. That was a fearsome track, which was, get this right, 13 miles long. I like to do track runs when I'm away at Grand Prix. I'm glad that's not on the calendar anymore. I really am. It's four times longer than most tracks in Formula One today. Now, F1 hasn't raced on that Nürburgring track since the 1970s. Jackie was also head of the Drivers' Union, the Grand Prix Drivers' Association, which George Russell's head of today, and they felt that track was too dangerous. Now, Sir Jackie's in his mid-80s, and his good work continues with Race Against Dementia, the charity he founded to find a cure for the disease which his wife, Lady Helen, so sadly suffers from. Now, that's also a cause very close to my heart. I am immensely privileged to say I'm a patron of the charity, and I will tell you more about that in a few moments' time. So I caught up with Sir Jackie in Miami about all of that. I asked him your questions. I really hope you enjoy this chat with a true legend of Formula One. Sir Jackie Stewart, what a pleasure it is to welcome you to F1 Explains. It's lovely to see you.
Well, thank you very much, and it's great to be here. Formula One has never been better than it is today, so I'm very happy to be here.
So, Jackie, you are a true legend of the sport. F1 is celebrating 75 years, can you believe? How much has the sport changed in that time?
Just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit.
It's changed enormously.
And part of your legacy, I feel, in this sport, Sir Jackie, is your ability to embrace the future. For example, you are a pioneer of safety in Formula One.
Formula One has always been glamorous, colourful and exciting. But the safety factor simply did not exist. The spectators weren't being properly looked after. There was just runoff areas for Formula One cars at a five-speed Formula One car at that time. And really, it was quite amazing that we survived as much as we did. But the sport, my brother was a good racing driver, drove for Ecurie, of course, the Scottish team. And seeing him race, of course, was great, big brother. And then, of course, at that time, I was actually shooting, trap shooting. I shot for Scotland and I shot for Great Britain before I was a racing driver.
Why are you racing drivers always so good at so many other things as well? You're always so talented at other things. It's not fair, really.
Well, it's strange. I mean, I only did it because my brother was a racing driver and I was a mechanic in a garage. And a very nice and very rich young man had fancy cars that his family wouldn't allow him to race, but he allowed his friends to race, and I was one of them. So that's why I started. I didn't start because I was an enthusiast. I started because I was his mechanic.
Because your brother did it, yeah.
And he was very nice. He said, like, why don't you drive? Because somebody had damaged the car badly. And he said, well, I finished second in the first race. And he said, well, you better try it again. And I won the second race.
And you mentioned the cars there. What do you think they will look like in another 30 years? What do you think Formula One racing will look like in another 30 years as we look into the future?
The technology that motorsport has is more advanced even than the aerospace industry. We get things done faster than, you know, if it had been a Formula One a group of people to get to the moon, they would have got there faster. Formula One is an amazingly fast, technically one of the best examples of getting things done successfully. Not finishing second or third, but to be winners. So Formula One has come to be today probably the biggest sport in the world. Television, because everybody drives a car today. Even when I was starting as a young racing driver, there would be one car in a family if they were well off. Now there's more than two, there's three in a family. And they're interested now, they come. When I was beginning my motor racing career, it was all men. The women were never in the grandstands. The fella came back, Fred came back at night on Friday and said, "Oh, by Willie and you, Millie and I, the wee boy, and I are going to Silverstone for the Grand Prix." And his wife said, "Oh, I'm coming too." "No, no, 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 it's a man's thing."
And we're watching F1 Academy on the screen to our left where we're recording this interview, Sir Jackie. How times have changed.
Well, it's changed enormously. The quality of the pictures are fantastic. It's the whole sport. It's probably the most advanced of any sport in the world. Bigger than American football, bigger than soccer in Europe. It because everybody drives a car. It's colourful, it's glamorous, it's exciting. And you can't beat it.
And I'm sure that will continue.
And the characters involved over the years were amazing people. I mean, even the man who won the world span speed record. And I hope before the next 4 or 5 years we're going to have a woman in Formula One. No reason why not. And that's going to be another dimension altogether with another group of people. So the sport is beautifully handled. Our Grand Prix themselves are glamorous, colourful and exciting. So it's never been better.
So, Jackie, you mentioned in your last answer there that Formula One gets things done. I know this is something particularly important to you because only a few races ago we saw you on track in a Formula One car in Bahrain, a very special Formula One car. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that, but I also want to talk about the reason you did that, because it was for a cause very close to your heart and also actually very close to my heart.
Well, unfortunately, Helen, my wife, suddenly got a terrible illness. And that illness now has become the biggest force of death in the world, dementia. I did the run in the car in Bahrain. It was my last world championship car, and I loved it. But we did it with helmets and overalls, all to raise money for Race Against Dementia. We've got to find a cure for dementia in my lifetime. So we started a very good charity. It's very well international. And the Crown Prince of Bahrain gave the idea of, why don't you, Jackie, do your little run round? They insisted on having a car in front of me so I couldn't go too fast. I didn't go off the road.
I bet you needed a lot of persuasion to get in the car. Oh, go on then, I'll do it.
No, it was very nice.
I'm obviously incredibly sorry to hear about your wife, Lady Helen. I know it's not a new thing you've been dealing with for many years. My mum also has dementia, as you know, Sir Jackie. I'm fortunate enough to be a patron of your charity, Race Against Dementia. I thank you for the work you do because, you know, it's devastated our family, and hopefully in the future families won't have to go through what our families have had to go through, because your charity is working so hard to importantly find a cure. And that was what that run in Bahrain was all about, and it's very special.
Exactly. It's a terrible illness. I mean, Helen was a wonderful wife. She was my timekeeper. She was my lap charter while I was a Grand Prix racing driver. She, in those days, the wives or the girlfriends, and sometimes the girlfriends and the wives, drove, you know, did what was necessary to get the information in on timing and lap charting.
And they kept your lap data, didn't they? They timed your laps.
Absolutely. Helen was an absolute genius at it, as was Damon Hill's mommy and father and mother.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, Sir Jackie, because now our listeners have been emailing f1explained@f1.com to ask you questions. And Tim from South Carolina and Aurora from Australia both emailed us asking about how lap times are recorded. We've actually done a whole episode on how modern day Formula One times laps with the transponders and the lasers around the track. It's all incredibly sophisticated, but it is just worth emphasizing, isn't it? When you were racing in the 1960s, timing wasn't done with computers. It was done by your wife, Helen, sat at the side of a track with a stopwatch.
Correct. It was the wives of the racing drivers. Bruce McLaren's wife would be doing the same thing, all of them. And the wives had something to do, and an important part of it. So I think today, of course, it's all technology, different. And now I have to say, when I'm looking at the television set and I see always one of the wives or the fathers or mummies sitting in the back of the garage. Well, we didn't have that. They were right on the racetrack.
You put them to work. They weren't enjoying the hospitality. They were working. So, Jackie, another question for you. This is from Ginny in Washington, D.C. Ginny says, I'm a very new Formula One fan, and sometimes you guys refer to a driver of the past, and I don't know who you're talking about. Maybe you could pick some of your favourites and give us some highlights of their careers and what made them special. So Jackie, thinking about your career racing in the 60s and 70s, is there one driver from that era who you think our newer fans should maybe know about, that you'd like to tell them about the genius of, who you raced against?
Not that I raced together, but Fangio, an Argentinian, was, I think, the best racing driver that's ever lived. And he lived.
Juan Manuel Fangio.
Juan Manuel Fangio was the ultimate man, I think, as a racing driver in the world. And I would see that of today as well. Of course, I see all of the great winners that have come up. The Jim Clarks, for example, or the Graeme Hill's father, or all of these others. But Fangio was something else. And for me, he still will be the greatest racing driver that's ever lived.
I would have loved to see a Fangio versus Verstappen versus Hamilton versus Stewart. That would have been a fantastic race, wouldn't it? Hanny is in Saudi Arabia, Phil in Australia, and Tom in Maryland in the USA have all written about the topic of driving style. And of course, every driver drives differently. There are different ways to be fast. Jackie, you are known for being very smooth, quite like Jenson Button more recently. Some of your rivals though, Jackie, were very aggressive, weren't they? They'd slide the cars through corners. When you watch Formula One today, what driving styles do you see from our 20 drivers on track in the modern era?
The drivers who are smoother than their competitors are very smooth at the car. The car's not a machine, it's an animal. And a Formula One animal needs to be touched clearly. It doesn't get upset.
Gently.
Gently and small, and in a way, it's always winning also. But it's got to be done in a smooth, gentle fashion. I tried very hard to go with that policy. And I think if I had been more aggressive, I would have had more mechanical failures, for example. So the smoothest the driver is, the better.
Are there still similarities in the way you drove those cars to the way the drivers are driving this current generation of cars?
The same animal. All the good drivers in the world do it smoothly and gently. Touch the car just smoothly and gently. Ask for it smoothly and gently. Don't abuse it. Formula One car's an animal. And if you give an animal a nice time, it gives you a better performance.
Like a golden retriever. Look after it. Give it a nice time. This question, Jackie, is from David in Guam and Carla in Toronto. Our listeners are all over the world. And they want to know about safety, something we touched on a little earlier. David asks,
What are the major safety features which have been added to F1 cars? This is something that's already been so close to your heart in your time in Formula One, isn't it?
While I was still racing at the highest level of the sport, we didn't have enough officials. We didn't have enough anybody in the medical world. We didn't have enough marshals. The Nürburgring in Germany, the greatest racetrack in the world, I closed because they couldn't afford under any circumstance to have enough people on both sides of the track around this big long circuit. And Niki Lauda had an accident, nearly killed him. And the reason he was as badly injured as he was, there was nobody there to help him. The drivers behind stopped and took him out of the car. So there wasn't enough space or money to afford what needed to be done. I closed the Nürburgring. I got life threats when I closed the Nürburgring because I was president of the Grand Prix Drivers Association, because there simply weren't enough people, weren't enough firefighters, weren't enough medical people when the bad accidents occurred. So that has changed. Now we've got a fantastic success in safety. Medically, this medical facility here is absolutely as good as and important as any university of medicine in the world for this weekend, specialising in what could happen with a big high-speed accident, whether it's through a car happening or damaging a human being. Now, we've lost no Grand Prix drivers for a very long time, and if there's enough wood round here, I'll be running to say we've had a fantastic past, recent past, of no deaths. That was not true when I was racing. All of my friends were killed driving racing cars, and it was just I went to more funerals, I think, than anybody else at that time.
And so, Jackie, you obviously mentioned there the wonderful work that marshals do, for example. In terms of the cars themselves, though, so many features have been put onto the cars to make them safer. Take the halo, for example, the ring we see around the top of the cars introduced in 2018. Talk us through some of those changes on the cars themselves that you've seen in your time in the sport.
When I was driving, there was no protection in the cockpit of a car. It was the fuel tanks were between your legs and your back. If you had a big shunt, exploded. Now, the cockpit of a Formula One car is a survival cell. The medical facilities at every racetrack we go to is enormous. And if I took you now into the medical centre of this racetrack, you would come out amazed of what was there and what talent was there in different areas of medicine. So that if the wrong thing happened medically, there was somebody there to do it. That simply didn't happen. When I had a big shunt at the Spa Grand Prix, there was all sorts of terrible things lying on the ground. And in the medical centre, it was all filthy. That's finished. Today, we've got better safety than there's ever been in the world. And probably Formula One is the best example of attracting the best talented people to look after the type of incident, accident or illness that would be part of an accident.
And of course, crash testing as well. You mentioned those survival cells. Part of the building of a new car for a new season, these cars are put through rigorous crash testing to make sure they do protect the drivers to a good enough standard.
Well, that's the great thing, I think, of Formula One. The technology is faster than the space interests. The people that go to space now take ages to get there. Formula One gets things done more quickly. And the record now of safety in Formula One is better than... There's more people get seriously hurt in soccer than they do in Formula One, Formula One championships. So it has changed, but it's changed because of pressure that came from the time that I was living. the time that I wanted to do something. It just wasn't discussed at that time. Oh, no, no, no. Don't talk about it. Now people talk about it, and if there is an improvement that's made, it gets done.
I think what fascinated me when I was learning about the sport when I was young, so I was born in 1991, and a lot of your safety work you'd done then, and I was learning about it growing up as a fan of the sport, and I was staggered that you met resistance from people. People sort of thought if you were taking away the danger, you were taking away the sport's soul. That's incredible to think about in modern day Formula One, where we do everything we can to look after our drivers.
Yes, but it wasn't being done. When I became president of the Grand Prix Drivers Association, I closed the Nürburgring. When I closed the Nürburgring, because they wouldn't do anything we asked for in safety, and in the Grand Prix at that time, the Nürburgring was the greatest racetrack in the world, and I won it. I won it by 4 minutes once in Formula One.
It's not bad, is it?
And, you know, I didn't want to stop it, but they wouldn't or they couldn't afford to do what was necessary to apply what was going to happen in an accident. When Niki Lauda had his big accident, it wasn't officials that got him out of the car. It was other racing cars stopped in the middle of a Grand Prix to save his life. So we didn't have the right equipment. We didn't have the right people. That's not true today. We've got the best medical facilities here in this Grand Prix right now. We've got the most people round it that is necessary to clear up a damaged car or sometimes part of the racetrack. That all happens like that now. But in those days, it was a new generation of thinking. And I happened to be president of the GPDA, the Grand Prix Drivers Association. Very unpopular in a lot of people, but it had to be done. And now that is just, we are safer, I think, than any sport in the world.
When you look in the mirror, you see this old school cowboy.
Director of Top Gun Maverick.
Why did Sonny Hayes come back to F1?
Starring Brad Pitt.
Ever seen a miracle?
Not yet.
On June 27th.
How do you think I'd feel if you die on the track?
Three laps. Three laps is a lifetime.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hello, it's Christian here, popping up to tell you about a big guest coming soon to F1 Explains. A very big guest. The big boss of Formula One, Stefano Domenicali. He is in charge of everything. And this is your chance to ask him anything. How the sport works, the meetings he has with the teams and drivers, where F1 might race in the future, the F1 movie, Drive to Survive, F1 Academy, his day-to-day work as president and CEO of F1, anything. Send your questions and voice notes for Stefano Domenicali to F1explains@F1.com. Stefano Domenicali, coming very soon to F1 Explains. I'm a bit nervous about meeting the boss. whether we talk about your world championships, Sir Jackie, or your record on safety, or the work you're doing with Race Against Dementia, something separate to Formula One, but you've made part of Formula One by using Formula One technology in order to help find a cure. What is it that you look back on as being most proud of?
I lost all of my friends driving racing cars at that time. Jim Clark, the driver that was going to take up my position with the Tyrrell team, because I was going to retire at the end of the American Grand Prix. Francois Sever was my teammate. And the last few minutes of the last practice session, Francois got killed in a terrible accident. That accident wouldn't have happened today, and he wouldn't have lost his life at that time. And I had already decided to stop. It would have been my 100th Grand Prix, so I didn't do it. I decided, in respect to Francois Sever, who was the pilot. So Helen was with me. She was doing the timekeeping and everything. And we waited for the beginning of the race, and then the two of us walked away out of the place in tears, because the sport had done everything for me. Helen had seen it all, but she had also seen all the deaths of all our friends. And for me, the sport has just done that. It's raised itself into a fantastic facility all around the world. And I'm so happy that I'm able to be with all of these people in all of these wonderful conditions.
We're so happy you're here. Sir Jackie, you have thrilled millions of people with your racing, with your driving. You have saved countless lives. You are working to make sure that families like ours don't have to be put through what we've been put through with losing loved ones in front of our very eyes. You are the definition and epitome of a legend, and Formula One is so lucky to have had you a part of it for all this time and remain a part of it. So thank you for being here, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us on F1 Explains. It's been an utter pleasure, Sir Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you to you.
Sir Jackie Stewart there, who has just left the area we're recording this interview in, Formula One's hospitality area. And it just dawned on me as he walked away that, I mean, Sir Jackie is a man in his 80s who only a few weeks ago was driving a 1970s Formula One car. The points he makes are sort of as sharp as a pin. He's so passionate. You can see the way his eyes light up as he talks about the things he's done in his career. And it's so fascinating to explain his impact on safety. And I think when I spoke to him there about the thing he's most proud about, you think, for a man that's achieved what he's achieved in his life on track, and these racing drivers, they're driven, they're engineered to win, and yet the thing he's most proud about is the safety, is the lives he's saved. It's incredible. He is an incredible man. He's an incredible ambassador for Formula One. And I often think that the word legend in sport is thrown around quite a lot when maybe it shouldn't be. And actually, as I was lucky enough to be able to say to Sir Jackie, he is a legend. And as we mentioned in the episode there, one of the things he fights for is particularly pertinent to me, Race Against Dementia, Sir Jackie's charity. I'm very proud to be a patron of that charity, given, as I mentioned, that my mum suffers with dementia. And I happen to know that, you know, when Lady Helen was diagnosed with this awful disease, Sir Jackie just couldn't fathom that nothing was being done to fix this problem, not just to care for people and just to look after people, which obviously is important, but he is still fighting, with the greatest of respect to him, at his age, to achieve something he's not achieved. The fight in him, the drive, is incredible, and he is working so hard, so selflessly, because it is too late for the likes of his wife, of my mum, but he wants to make sure that families like ours don't suffer what we've had to suffer. It's incredible. Very special. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Sir Jackie as much as I did. Formula One is very proud to support Race Against Dementia. You can find out more about it at raceagainstdementia.com. Please make a donation if you can. It's a wonderful charity fighting to find a cure for dementia. And you can learn more about Sir Jackie by listening to his episode of F1 Beyond the Grid, of that podcast. Scroll back on the feed or search Sir Jackie Stewart F1 Beyond the Grid and you'll find the episode where Sir Jackie speaks to Tom Clarkson about his life. If you enjoyed that chat, it's really worth doing. There's also a documentary about his championships on F1 TV, and his book, by the way, Winning Is Not Enough, is a must read for anyone who wants to know about the history of Formula One. Thank you for listening to F1 Explained, in particular this episode. It means an awful lot. That's it from us. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.